The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from sciencealert.com, Sleeper Phase Discovered in Stem Cells Could Advance Treatment for Gliomas. AceSight.com has a few new products to consider for visually impaired people. News-medical.net has a couple of new articles. The FDA approves treatment with Rhyplasm. That's for a rare disorder. Optic nerve activity may trigger childhood tumors of the eye. Blind Abilities podcast has an interview with Laura Allen of Google. If I have time, I will read some things on cool blind tech that you might not know about. So let's get started. From sciencealert.com, newly discovered sleeper phase in stem cells could advance brain tumor treatment. The human body contains hundreds of different types of cells, with stem cells working like blank canvases that can be adapted and reproduced to help our tissues grow and repair themselves. However, once hijacked, the same kind of cell proliferation can be damaging, as happens in cancer tumors. Scientists have now discovered a new resting phase for neuroepithelial cells, the stem cells of the central nervous system, which appears to put them in a kind of dormancy. If we can work out how to apply this to cancer cells too, we could get to the stage of being able to put brain tumors to sleep. The primary feature of any cancer is that the cells are proliferating, says biomedical engineer Christopher Plaisier, Plaisier, from Arizona State University. If we could get in there and figure out what the mechanisms are, that might be a place to slow them down. As a specific treatment, that's still a way off, but the researchers say that the newly identified resting phase gives us a much better understanding of how these stem cells work. The phase, named Neural G0, was discovered as a part of an investigation into how stem cell growth in the brain could fight neurodegenerative diseases. In cases where you have neurodegeneration, having stem cells that proliferate is potentially beneficial. The one problem with that is it's also similar to what happens when cancer cells increase rapidly. It's two sides of the same coin, adds Plaisier. There are four main phases in the lives of the cells in our bodies. G1, growing, although the G stands for gap. S, copying genetic material from the nucleus. G2, growing again. And M, dividing into two new cells. After G1, many cells take a detour into a sleep-like state called G0, where cells are either dormant or in no rush to start dividing. The newly identified neural G0 state has features specific to neuroepithelial cells and is characterized by upregulation of genes with key roles in neural development, the team writes in the study. In the case of brain cancer, mutations can cause cells to break out of G0 mode, spreading very quickly as a result. Glioma brain tumors, for example, happen when neuroepithelial cells enter the growth and division phases at higher rates than normal. Understanding how these phases work could be crucial in tackling tumors. Neural G0 cell populations and gene expression are significantly associated with less aggressive tumors and extended patient survival for gliomas, the team writes. Researchers already use neural network tools called classifiers to match cells to phases based on their RNA information. And here, the team developed a new classifier, almost like seeing the cell phases in higher resolution for the first time. Rather than analyzing actual cells, the new classifier crunches the numbers on existing cell data, which means it's more straightforward to use. We were able to pick out phases that are glommed together in the other cell cycle classifiers, says Plaisier. That potentially has several different uses. The team then used their CCAF, Cell Cycle ASU/Fred Hutchinson, tool to look at glioma tumor data, finding that the tumor cells were often either in the neural G0 or G1 state. The more aggressive tumors had fewer cells chilling out at the neural G0 level, perhaps pointing to one future avenue to explore in terms of treatments. Current cancer treatments focus on killing cancer cells, which can cause the remaining parts of a tumor to become more resistant to drugs. If relevant cells could somehow be put into neural G-sub-zero sleep instead, that could mean less aggressive tumor spread. The next step is to look at which genes are responsible for pushing cells into this sleeping or quiescent state, in the hope that scientists can figure out the mechanism and make use of it. In the meantime, CCAF is being made open source for anyone to use and may well have more cell cycle phases to discover yet. The cell cycle is such a well-studied thing, and yet here we are looking at it again for the umpteenth time, and a new phase pops out at us, says Plaser. Biology always has new insights to show us. You just have to look. The research has been published in Molecular Systems Biology. From acesight.com, visual independence is near. Even with severe eye conditions, a user is empowered with more possibility when they wear AceSight. Conditions include AMD, retinitis pigmentosa, diabetic retinopathy, glaucoma, Stargardt's disease, and cataracts. There's a hot link for Is AceSight for Me? One practical low vision solution includes the AceSight and AceSight S. These are electronic glasses that let you see even with severe low vision. AceSight and AceSight S functions include high contrast for all eye conditions. High contrast color has proved greatly helpful for people with most visual impairments. Outline objects. The lines added to edges of things enable you to see them better. Magnification up to 15x. Look at the world bigger. The find function, which is not included on the S model, find function helps a user locate things in a higher magnification. Floating reading mode for long text reading. Freeze the view and see it as a big still image. Narrow mode, also not available on the S model, for peripheral vision loss. If you have a limited field of vision, narrow mode can help you see the whole picture. Narrow mode and find function are not available on AceSight S. Click Is AceSight for Me for more information about a specific function. That's from acesight.com. From news-medical.net, FDA approves new treatment for patients with hypoplasminogenemia. Reviewed by Emily Henderson. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Ryplasm, R-Y-P-L-A-Z-I-M, plasminogen, human-TMVH, for the treatment of patients with plasminogen deficiency type 1, also referred to as hypoplasminogenemia, a disorder that can impair normal tissue and organ function and may lead to blindness. Individuals with this disease lack a protein called plasminogen, which is responsible for the ability of the body to break down fibrin clots. Plasminogen deficiency leads to an accumulation of fibrin, causing the development of growths, lesions, that can impair normal tissue and organ function and may lead to blindness when these lesions affect the eyes. The active ingredient in Ryplasm is plasminogen, purified from human plasma. Treatment with Ryplasm helps to increase the plasma level of plasminogen, enabling a temporary correction of the plasminogen deficiency and reduction or resolution of the lesions. The effectiveness and safety of Ryplasm is primarily based on one single-arm, open-label, unblinded, clinical trial enrolling 15 adult and pediatric patients with plasminogen deficiency type 1. All patients received Ryplasm administered every 2 to 4 days for 48 weeks. The effectiveness of Ryplasm was demonstrated by at least 50% improvement of their lesions in all 11 patients who had lesions at baseline and absence of recurrent or new lesions in any of the 15 patients through the 48 weeks of treatment. The most common side effects reported by patients who received Ryplasm were abdominal pain, bloating, nausea, bleeding, limb pain, fatigue, constipation, dry mouth, headache, dizziness, joint pain, and back pain. The FDA granted Ryplasm orphan drug designation, which provides incentives to assist and encourage drug development for rare diseases. The application also received fast-track designation, priority review, and a rare pediatric disease priority review voucher. The FDA's rare pediatric disease priority review voucher program is intended to encourage development of new drugs and biologics to prevent and or treat rare diseases in children. Patients with plasminogen deficiency type 1 may bleed from active disease-related lesions. The use of riplasm may prolong or worsen active bleeding. Tissue sloughing, peeling, or shedding has also been observed. Because riplasm is derived from human plasma, it carries a risk of transmitting infectious agents. Based on effective donor screening procedures and product manufacturing processes, the risk of infectious disease transmission is remote. The FDA granted approval to ProMetic Biotherapeutics, Inc. Source from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Also from news-medical.net, optic nerve activity may trigger the formation of vision-harming tumors in children, reviewed by Emily Henderson. In a study of mice, researchers showed how the act of seeing light may trigger the formation of vision-harming tumors in young children who are born with neurofibromatosis type 1, NF1, cancer predisposition syndrome. The research team, funded by the National Institutes of Health, focused on tumors that grow within the optic nerve, which relays visual signals from the eyes to the brain. They discovered that the neural activity which underlies these signals can both ignite and feed the tumors. Tumor growth was prevented or slowed by raising young mice in the dark or treating them with an experimental cancer drug during a critical period of cancer development. Brain cancers recruit the resources they need from the environment they are in, said Michelle Monge, M-O-N-J-E, M.D., Ph.D., Associate Professor of Neurology at Stanford University, Palo Alto, California, and co-senior author of the study published in Nature. To fight brain cancers, you have to know your enemies. We hope that understanding how brain tumors weaponize neural activity will ultimately help us save lives and reduce suffering for many patients and their loved ones. The study was a joint project between Dr. Monge's team and scientists in the laboratory of David H. Gutmann, M.D., Ph.D., the Donald O. Schnuck Family Professor, and the director of the Neurofibromatosis Center at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. In 2015, Dr. Monge's team showed for the first time that stimulation of neural activity in mice can speed the growth of existing malignant brain tumors, and that this enhancement may be controlled by the secretion of a protein called neuroligin 3, NEUROLIGIN-3. In this new study, the researchers hoped to test out these ideas during earlier stages of tumor development. This study is one of the first to show a definitive role for neurons in influencing tumor initiation. It's both scary and exciting to see that controlling neuronal activity can have such a profound influence on tumor growth. Specifically, the researchers chose to study optic nerve gliomas in mice. Gliomas are formed from newborn cells that usually become a type of brain cell called glia. The tumors examined in this study are reminiscent of those found in about 15 to 20% of children who are born with a genetic mutation that causes NF1. About half of these children develop vision problems. Dr. Gutmann helped discover the disease-causing mutation linked to NF1 and its encoded protein, neurofibromin, while working in a lab at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, which was then led by the current NIH director, Francis S. Collins, MD, PhD. Since then, the Gutmann team's pioneering work on NF1, and particularly NF1 brain tumors, has greatly shaped the medical research community's understanding of low-grade glioma formation and progression. Based on multiple lines of converging evidence, we knew that these optic nerve gliomas arose from neural precursor cells. However, the tumor cells required help from surrounding non-cancerous cells in the optic nerve to form gliomas, said Dr. Gutmann, who was also a senior author of this study. While we had previously shown that immune cells like T cells and microglia provide growth factors essential for tumor growth, the big question was, what role did neurons and neural activity play in optic glioma initiation and progression? To address this, the researchers performed experiments on mice engineered by the Gutmann Laboratory to generate tumors that genetically resembled human NF1-associated optic gliomas. Typically, optic nerve gliomas appear in these mice between 6 to 16 weeks of age. Initial experiments suggested that optic nerve activity drives the formation of the tumors. Artificially stimulating neural activity during the critical ages of tumor development enhanced cancer cell growth, resulting in bigger optic nerve tumors. In contrast, raising the mice in the dark during that same type time completely prevented new tumors from forming. Interestingly, the exact timing of the dark period also appeared to be important. For instance, 2 out of 9 mice developed tumors when they were raised in the dark beginning at 12 weeks of age. These results suggest there is a temporal window during childhood development when genetic susceptibility and visual system activity critically intersect. If a susceptible neuroprecursor cell receives the key signals at a vulnerable time, then it will become cancerous. Otherwise, no tumors form, said Yuan Pan, PhD, a postdoctoral fellow at Stanford and the lead author. We need to understand how this happens at a molecular level. Further experiments supported the idea that the neuroligand 3 may be a key player in this process. For instance, the scientists found high levels of neuroligand 3 gene activity in both mouse and human gliomas. Conversely, silencing the neuroligand 3 gene prevented tumors from developing in the neurofibromatosis mice. Traditionally, neuroligand 3 proteins are thought to act like tie rods that physically brace neurons together at communication points called synapses. In this study, the researchers found that the protein may work differently. The optic nerves of neurofibromatosis mice raised under normal light conditions had higher levels of a short free-floating version of neuroligand 3 than the nerves of mice raised in the dark. Previously, our lab showed that neural activity causes shedding of neuroligand 3. And that this shedding hastens malignant brain tumor growth. Here, our results suggest that the neuroligand 3 shedding is the link between neural activity and optic nerve glioma formation. Visual activity causes shedding, and shedding in turn transforms susceptible cells into gliomas, said Dr. Manje. Finally, the researchers showed that an experimental drug may be effective at combating gliomas. The drug is designed to block the activity of ADAM10, a protein that is important for neuroligand 3 shedding. Treating the neurofibromatosis mutant mice with the drug during the critical period of 6 to 16 weeks after birth prevented the development of tumors. Treatment delayed to 12 weeks did not prevent tumor formation, but reduced the growth of the optic gliomas. These results show that understanding the relationship between neural activity and tumor growth, providing promising avenues for novel treatments of NF1 optic gliomas, said Jill Morris, PhD, Program Director, NINDS. Dr. Manji's team is currently testing a neuroligand 3 targeting drugs and light exposure modifications that may in the future help treat patients with this form of cancer. Source, NIH, National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. From blindabilities.com podcasts, How a Journey Through Vision Loss Prepared Laura Allen to Become Head of Strategy for Accessibility and Disability Inclusion at Google. There is a link for the full transcript, but the show summary is, Laura Allen joins Rocky and Jeff in the Blind Abilities studio to talk about new developments in Google's accessibility and disability inclusion. Laura Allen is head of strategy for accessibility and disability inclusion, bringing together the Google network of teams to bring awareness to accessibility and disability inclusion within the entire Google Corporation. Laura uses a mix of accessibility tools to be independent, which gives her a clear perspective on the need for accessibility and how inclusion in the workplace is an everyday experience for everyone. Laura talks about new developments in accessibility, resources, and how the teams at Google are innovating for a more accessible future. From high school to college to the workplace, Laura has been building on her life experience to bring awareness and to develop strategies for accessibility across Google products and building a more inclusive workplace environment at Google. To find out more about Google and accessibility, check out the links to their accessibility blog and support team below. From the Google blog, there's a hot link for the latest news about our efforts to help everyone access and enjoy the web. From the Google Help Center, you can use Google Workspace for online collaboration, organization, and productivity. These resources can help you get started with Google Workspace using assistive technology. There's also a hot link for Google Workspace User Guide to Accessibility and Google Support Team on Accessibility. You can connect with any of the Google Accessibility Support Teams for Android, Chrome, Workspace, Chromebook, YouTube, and more Google products. You can also join an accessibility community. Contact your state services. If you reside in Minnesota and you would like to know more about transition services from State Services, contact Transition Coordinator Sheila Koenig by email or contact her by phone at 651-539-2361. There are sources for blind abilities. You can follow us on Twitter at Blind Abilities, on the web at www.blindabilities.com. Send us an email. Get the free Blind Abilities app on the App Store and Google Play Store. Check out the Blind Abilities community on Facebook, the Blind Abilities page, and the Career Resources for the Blind and Visually Impaired group. From Zoomax.com, Luna S is coming, a new handy little tool featuring a 4.3-inch compact size, zoom in and out function, high contrast colors change, FM radio, and more. We are pleased to announce that your user experience is about to get even better with the upcoming launch of this electronic video magnifier. Luna S is a handheld low-vision aid. Due to the pocket size, Luna S is easy to carry around. You can magnify everything you want to read everywhere, living room, bedroom, library, restaurant, other places you visit often. If you have low vision and would like a simple solution, Luna S will be your number one choice. Subscribe to our newsletter to stay tuned with Zoomax for Luna S' latest update. From CoolBlindTech.com, posted June 28th, new non-contact laser imaging system technology could enable early detection and treatment of eye diseases. A non-contact laser imaging system could help doctors diagnose and treat eye diseases that cause blindness much earlier than is now possible. What is this new technology designed to detect? The new technology, developed by engineering researchers at the University of Waterloo, is designed to detect telltale signs of major blinding diseases in retinal blood and tissue that typically go unseen until it is too late. What is the benefit over current testing methods? With current testing methods, diseases such as age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma, which have no symptoms in their early stages, are usually diagnosed only after vision is irreversibly affected. We're optimistic that our technology, by providing functional details of the eye such as oxygen saturation and oxygen metabolism, may be able to play a critical role in early diagnosis and management of these blinding diseases, said Parson Haji Reza, R-E-Z-A, director of the Photomedicine Labs at Waterloo. How does it work? Patented technology at the core of the new system is known as Photoacoustic Remote Sensing, PARS. It uses multicolored lasers to almost instantly image human tissue without touching it. When used for eyes, the non-invasive, non-contact approach dramatically improves both patient comfort and the accuracy of test results. Is there any other use for this technology? The technology is also being applied by Haji Reza and researchers in his lab to provide microscopic analyses of breast, gastroenterological, skin, and other cancerous tissues, and to enable real-time imaging to guide surgeons during the removal of brain tumors. PARS may move us beyond the current gold standard in ophthalmological imaging, said Dr. Richard Weinstein, an ophthalmologist and co-founder of the Ocular Health Center. For the first time, not just in ophthalmology, but in the entire medical field, diagnosis and treatment of disease could be made prior to structural change and functional loss. When are clinical trials expected to begin? Haji Reza, a professor of systems design engineering and co-founder of startup company Illumisonics, said researchers are working with several ophthalmologists and hope to start clinical trials within 2 years. A paper on the research, Functional and Structural Ophthalmic Imaging Using Non-Contact Multimodal Photoacoustic Remote Sensing Microscopy and Optical Coherence Tomography, appears in the journal Scientific Reports. The research team includes graduate students Zohra Hosseinaie, H-O-S-S-E-I-N-A-E-E, Nicholas Pellegrino, Layla Khalil, K-H-A-L-I-L-I, and Liazat Mukhangalieva, M-U-K-H-A-N-G-A-L-I-Y-E-V-A, and research assistant Nima Abbasi, A-B-B-A-S-S-I. Source, University of Waterloo. Posted in Cool Blind Tech, June 21st, Greek students develop wearable orientation system to help visually impaired swimmers. The Olympics and Paralympics are coming up soon. A wearable assistance system for blind or partially sighted swimmers has been developed by a group of students as part of the 7th Student Innovation and Entrepreneurship Competition of Junior Achievement in Greece, JA Greece. What is included in the system and how does it work? The system includes a swimming cap with glasses and is intended to help swimmers with their orientation in a swimming pool. The device has a set of sensors in the swimming cap that notifies the swimmer about their orientation in the pool and arrival at the end of the route for the turn or the finish. Additionally, the system includes a Bluetooth headset that can be connected to a mobile device to let the swimmer know about their timing and statistics during the swim. The device uses a gyroscope for orientation and an accelerometer for the timing of the route using a mobile Internet of Things type application, giving the swimmer feedback of the race. The students, who are also members of the Swim.me team that promotes the sport of swimming around Greece, wanted to develop this innovative idea in order to encourage visually impaired people of all ages, amateurs and children, to get involved with the swimming, regardless of the challenges that they may face. Rania Vlachou, V-L-A-C-H-O-U, student of Management Science and Technology at the Athens University of Economics and Business, AUEB, and member of Swim.me, first came up with the idea of the device. And along with a strong team of participants, including Iphigenia Vasilaki and Anastasios Karmoutis from AUEB, and Dimitris Lambros and Vangelis Georgakilas from NTUA, the blueprints of the system came to life. Was there any feedback from the blindness community? The group of students also had the opportunity to receive feedback as they presented their project to Paralympian and world champion swimmer Charalambos Taiganidis, T-A-I-G-A-N-I-D-I-S, who was excited with the idea. It was very important for us to get validation from such a renowned athlete, who is one of the people directly concerned with the device, and he not only approved it, but also gave us feedback and tips on how to continue to make further use of the project, Panagiota Dedousi said. The system is the second big project for visually impaired people that has been developed by Greek students, as the previous innovation called Smart Vision and created by middle school students also received global recognition and praise from the international scientific community. Smart Vision is designed to help people in their daily shopping activities and includes a device that recognizes product labels in a supermarket and can be read to the user during the basic information on the label, such as expiration date or ingredients. The JA Greece competition is part of the JA Startup and JA Europe programs, in which more than 300 universities across Europe and 15,000 students participate each year. These initiatives give the opportunity to students ages 18 to 30 to develop their own entrepreneurship idea and encourages them to use their skills in various areas of a business. Is the device ready for competition? The Greek team is currently in the process of making the whole swimming cap device waterproof and ready to use, and will represent Greece in the Pan-European JA competition, which will take place online in Lithuania later in 2021. Well, I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I hope you had a happy 4th.